desire y'all's prayers once again this evening. Have a little thought, more of a...
Well, I'm not quite sure what to call it. I guess maybe it's a bit of a look into one of the doctrines that we hold.
And just sometimes I feel like that sometimes, with especially in our world today, when it comes to divine healing, healing of the body, that a lot of times it almost doesn't seem to be there. That somehow we've lost focus, we don't understand what it is. We still have the teaching. And I know especially, you know, I work for a health insurance company. And it's interesting because obviously there's a lot of talk about what do you go to the doctor for. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people in the world that don't like going to a doctor. But more out of either the cost or they just don't like doctors. They feel like they'll get sick in a hospital. But when you speak up and say, well, I generally don't go to a doctor because I trust the Lord for healing. Oftentimes that, what do you mean? You trust the Lord for healing. Well, if I get sick, I'm going to trust Him to heal me. Well, what if you get cancer? You're not going to go take chemotherapy or anything? No, I'd prefer not to. Now, there are some things that I would do, just me personally. You know, if I had a broken bone, I would probably go get it set. I don't know about you all, but the idea of sticking the two ends back together where they'll heal right seems just... That doesn't seem all that miraculous to me. That seems common sense. There are some things that, you know, I think that we need to be cognizant of. But healing of the body, you know, what do we think the Bible says about it? Have y'all actually dug into the Bible? And I'm going to focus on two things. Doctors and medicine. Because that seems to be the two things that come up a lot. And so doing a little study on that, one thing that jumped out at to me is the word doctor in the Bible is generally reserved for speaking of doctors of the law, whether it's a religious law or legal law. So if you're going to go do a word search on doctors in the Bible, you'll probably find a lot of talk about ordinances and things like that, but you won't find much about healing. There is, however, the word physician. Guess how many times the word physician shows up in the Bible? Anybody want to hazard a guess? 12 times. 5 times in the Old Testament, 7 times in the New Testament. It's first referred to by Jacob, or not Jacob, Joseph, talks about the physicians of Egypt embalming his father Jacob. So there's 2 references to physicians, both of them around embalming an already deceased body. The next mention is King Asa. Now, most of us have probably heard of King Asa. King Asa, it said, died from a disease in his feet. But there's a little more to that. It said he died because of the disease in his feet because he wouldn't seek the Lord. And if you look at the whole story with King Asa, the prophet had reprimanded him for something, and he basically got mad and decided he wasn't putting up with it anymore. And so he wouldn't talk to God. He went to the doctors, and it sounds like died from it. The next mention is Job. Job talks about a doctor during his discourse, and his mention of a doctor is calling his comforters physicians of no value or physicians that can't heal. Sounds like he held doctors in high esteem, didn't he? So you're just like a doctor that can't heal anything. You know? Then Jeremiah. Jeremiah speaks about a physician. Y'all remember the verse about the balm of Gilead? And the question that's asked, are there no physicians to heal this people? Now we realize this is speaking spiritually. Where is that physician? Then we get into the New Testament. Now, Jesus speaks of physicians three times because he's talking about he didn't come to the healthy. The spiritually healthy don't need a physician, only the sick. He mentions that three times. Jesus also mentions that there is going to be a prophecy made that he's going to fulfill, that he's going to be told, physician, heal thyself. All of these speaking of things spiritually. Then we have two references to physicians in the two different stories about the woman with the issue of blood. And what did it say about those physicians? That the woman had spent all of her money going after the doctors to get healed and wasn't better from it, wasn't even the same. She was actually worse off before she came and sought the Lord for healing. And then we have the reference to Luke as a physician. That is all the Bible has to say about physicians. Most of it isn't positive. Most of it refers to people that can't accomplish the healing they're trying to do. Have you ever considered that? Just when we look at life? So now let's look at the word medicine. The word medicine is in the Bible four times, all in the Old Testament. It's in Proverbs 17:22, where it says, a merry heart, and what King James says is, does good like a medicine. But it's also been translated that it actually should read, a merry heart does good to the body. And there's actually several of the old manuscripts that have it worded that way in the Hebrew. There's a basic, if you want to call it, a spelling difference of one letter between those two words. So there's some question there if that's really saying a merry heart is like medicine, or if a merry heart just does you good. Jeremiah, he bemoans the wounds that God gave to the nation of Israel, and then calls out how that there's no medicine that can heal those wounds. What God damages, you're not going to heal with some concoction from man. He does that twice in two different places. He even in the second one calls out that even if you do use all the medicines, if you put all you can towards healing these wounds, they're not going to work. And then Ezekiel mentions a medicine. It's in the vision of the throne of God and the river that comes out, and there's trees on either side of that river. And those trees have leaves, and it refers to those leaves as medicine. And if you dig into that, the leaves are said to be a symbol for our righteousness as we live here on earth and the good that it can have for those around us. Now there's other words. The word balm. Balm could be considered a type of medicine, correct? We all have heard of balm, the balm of Gilead. The word balm is only mentioned six times in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. Three times, when they talk about balm, it's simply referenced in the list of things being bought and sold in the market. They are talking about all the animals, the goods, and oh, by the way, we also sell balm. It's just something that's bought and sold. The other three times that a balm is mentioned, it's mentioned about healing, and oftentimes the balm not working. The word ointment is used in a medical sense once. It is used other times, but it's referring to the ointment used to anoint the priest and all that. So the word ointment in a medical sense is only once. It's in the Old Testament. And it's when they're talking about the wickedness of Judah and how Judah as a nation is just full of sores and stuff from head to toe. And it says, and no one's going to put an ointment on your wounds. Why? Because no one's wanting to heal them. And that it would take the Lord to do it. Once again, the medicine seems to be of no value without the Lord. There is one mention of a poultice. You know, a mixture of leaves or something put on a wound. That's in Isaiah. It's actually when Hezekiah had a boil. And Isaiah said, put some figs on it. a lump of figs on it. And he actually was healed from it, although not according to the figs. It wasn't from the power of the figs. It was because God said he was going to heal him. There's a lot of other mentions of medical things being done, mostly dealing with oil. Oil being applied, or oil and wine. And what I find interesting on that is, it's usually just talking about things that would be putting a dressing on a wound. And if you think about it, what is a dressing on a wound in all of actuality? Have you all ever heard of the term Band-Aid? You know, if a little child cuts themselves, you know, a parent will pick them up, they'll clean the wound up, and they'll stick a Band-Aid on it. From what I've been reading, the Band-Aids of the ancient world was oil, or oil and wine. That was their equivalent of a Band-Aid. And it's interesting to me that in all that the Bible says about specifically the words that's translated to medicine and physician, the words generally don't refer to the physicians or the medicine being of much good. And yet our world today, that's what they seek after when they are hurt, when they're injured. Thinking about our current situation with the coronavirus, you know, the different doctors, companies, politicians touting by what time of the year, this year, next year, whenever that we're going to have the vaccine that's going to just cure this thing, or the therapeutic pills or medicines that we can take, and it's going to fix this pandemic. Because sooner or later, the physicians are going to come up with a medicine that's going to heal it. Now, if this is from the Lord, how do you think their medicine's going to work? I wouldn't put my hope in it if this is from the Lord and he wants it to keep going. There are three verses when I was doing studying that are used by a lot of folks to justify why they believe that you can go to the doctors and seek a healing from a doctor. I found it interesting when I was doing the study because these three seem to be universal across multiple of the different sites I went to, different denominations, looking into why they teach this way. Because obviously there's not a lot in the Bible that talks about going to the doctor of medicine. One of the first verses is in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In verse 34. And this is talking about, it's in the parable of, you know, who is our neighbor, where the Samaritan came by after the others had passed the injured man. And this is what the Samaritan did. And it says, and went to him, the Samaritan, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own horse, beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now they look at that, because it was oil and wine poured into the wound, they say, well, that's a medicine. The question I would have is, was the Samaritan a doctor? We don't really know, do we? But it doesn't call it out, so I'm going to go with he probably wasn't. He wasn't a doctor. So this wasn't a traveling doctor with a bag full of medicine going around. This was just a man traveling down the side of the road, saw another man wounded, and he did something which would probably be common for their era. He got some wine out. Do you know they thought wine was a purifying agent back then? So he got some wine out and he pours it in the wound. And then he put some oil on it. Oil was a common skin treatment. It was almost like your Band-Aid. It protected the wound. So was this really a case of somebody seeking medical treatment? Or was this just a case of somebody saying, hey, I've got a cut. And the proper thing to do if I want it to heal is keep it clean and keep it protected. And then take the guy to some place where the Lord can heal him at whatever speed the Lord takes care of it. Even to the point of telling the innkeeper, if you take care of him longer than the money I've given you for, apparently he traveled back and forth a lot through that area, I would say. Because he told the innkeeper, just basically put it on my tab, and when I come back through, I'll pay it. So this man didn't expect, dare I say, what he did to miraculously cure the man. He just viewed it as, I'm just bandaging his wounds up so he can heal. The next verse is in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. Now this one we've all heard before. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Now this is instruction to Timothy. A lot of folks will point to this. See? Medicine. They were using the wine as medicine. This was actually an instruction to just not drink plain water. If you read into some of the way it can be translated, it can be translated, don't drink just water, but to mix your wine in with the water. Why? To prevent stomach issues. You have any of y'all ever traveled to a foreign country and gone out, got a big old glass of local water and just drank it real fast? Would any of y'all say that was advisable? If you're in a foreign country? No. Your body will revolt on you. You will get something that's been termed Montezuma's revenge because it will severely upset your stomach. So what is Paul doing here? Paul is a missionary. How many times do you think he's traveled? How many areas has he gone to that had strange water to him? And now Timothy is moving out. And so Paul is talking to Timothy, and Paul's saying, okay, Timothy, you know your stomach's a little sensitive already. When you travel to some of these places, I know you currently don't drink wine, but to help your stomach out, put a little wine in the water. Do you know it was used by the ancient Romans and ancient Greeks? They didn't normally drink their wine straight on. That oftentimes they mixed the wine into the water, and it would be like maybe one-third wine, the other two-thirds water. It was not the majority wine with a little water. They put the wine in the water because they said this helps purify it. This helps it to where when you drink it, it doesn't upset your stomach. So it's often used as an excuse to go run to the medicine cabinet and go chase after the healing for man. Is actually just common local advice given from one traveling missionary to a new one, basically saying, you know what? What were we told in Kenya? Stick with bottled water. Don't drink the local water. It will affect you. So stick with bottled water. Now, they didn't have bottled water back then. So what was Paul's advice? Hey, the Romans and the Greeks do this. It works well when they're traveling. Just a little bit of wine into that water will take care of the stuff in it that makes you sick. It'll help your stomach issues. And guess what? You'll be able to travel, visit all these places, do the Lord's work without constantly fighting your stomach. Is that medicine? Not really. Was Paul a doctor? So why would this be advice to go run to doctors? Since so far the two verses that we've read about, neither one of them were advice given by a doctor. And both of them appear to be nothing more than, hey, put a Band-Aid on it, and oh, by the way, try to do something to the water to kill the bad stuff in it before you drink it. Today we might say just boil it. So the other verse, this one is in James. James chapter 5. 5 and 14. Oops, went too far. So in James 5 and 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this verse, and they'll usually quote it just like this, no context around it, is used by a lot of churches to say this is telling you it's okay to seek medical help because of the mention of oil. Because oil was a common component in about all of their apothecary stuff. It was what they used in a lot of the base ingredients. It was used in ointments and salves. But once again, if we look at this verse, who is applying the ointment? Or the oil. It just says oil. It doesn't even say ointment. It just says anoint him with oil. So go pray for him and anoint him with oil. Is it a doctor that went with the elders? No. Were all the elders supposed to be doctors so they could properly anoint with the oil? Do we find that anywhere in the Bible? No. It's not in there. So what does this basically say? The way I read it is very simply. Pray to God, anoint the person with oil, and trust God to do the work. Just exactly what it simply says. And a lot of the churches, they struggle with the anointing part with oil because it seems to be something new. They can't find it in the Jewish traditions. So they want to discount that it means just to anoint them with oil. They want to make it something special. This verse, have you all heard of the, I think it's called Extreme Unction of the Catholic Church? It's one of the last rites oftentimes. When a person's about to die, you can call a priest in and he'll administer the extreme unction. They get that from this verse because they take the anointing as something different than what it says here. They only do it before the person dies. You have to be just about on your deathbed before they will do it. Which I find interesting because I don't read anywhere in this verse or in the context where you have to be on your deathbed to partake of being anointed with the oil and prayed for. When we look at all of these, all of the references so far, even the last one, if you just want to look at the anointing with oil, and I'm going to say look at it slightly superficially, you could read it as go pray for the person and make sure that the necessary care of their wounds is taken care of, that if they've got a wound, put oil on it. Just make sure that they're taken care of. To put it in our modern world, somebody's feeling sick, go pray for them and bring them a pot of soup. Make sure they got something for their body. Help them out. Do they need any help with anything? Don't just neglect them. Don't just pray for them, but pray for them and do something for them. But it doesn't seem to be, from what I can tell, saying run off and go seek medical help and it's okay. The Lord's totally fine with you looking to man for your healing. So, how did Jesus heal people? Now I'm going to ask a trick question. Was Jesus a physician? And the reason why I say that's a trick question depends upon how you look at it. Was he a healer of body and soul? Yes. In that sense, he was the ultimate physician. He could actually heal anything. But was he a physician by trade? Had he been trained in the art of the apothecary, how to mix the ointments, how to mix the things together, knew what herbs go with what? And was that his trade? He was a carpenter's son. So he wasn't a physician. But what do we have on record he went around doing? Healing people. So how did he heal people? Did he have just one way he went and did it? Now, I'm not going to go through all of them. I've just picked a few out. He healed by touch. Matthew 8:3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. You know, sometimes Jesus just touched you. You know, guess what? You're good. Matthew 12:13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. So he healed sometimes just by command. He didn't touch. Sometimes, I'm not going to touch you. Just your hand's healed. You just don't know it yet. Stretch it out and see. See, it's healed, isn't it? What about the centurion whose servant was sick? And so Jesus says, well, I'll go to his house. And that centurion, he grasped something about God, didn't he? He grasped something about Jesus. Because what did he say? Hold on, you're bringing a guy to my house? I'm not worthy that this man come into my house. I know he can heal just by speaking. So tell him to just say the word and my servant's healed. No doctors involved? No medicine involved? How'd that happen? Matthew 14:36. And many besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Do you know sometimes Jesus healed people without doing anything at all? They simply reached out and touched. We have the widow woman. We talked about her a little earlier, the issue of blood. And she reached out, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. And here, more people healed the same way. Just, can I touch him? And they were healed. Matthew 17:18. I find this one interesting because our world today would have you believe that this has nothing to do with illness. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Our world today would like to have you believe a lot of illnesses, especially in the mental category, just chemicals, purely chemicals. And if we can find the right chemical concoction, we can have you take this pill and your problem will go away. And it works sometimes until you forget to take the pill. So have you been healed? Is it really a healing if you always have to take something for it? If you had a cut on your finger and you always had to wear a Band-Aid because it just bled all the time, it never closed back up, would you consider that a healing wound? Or would you consider that something that's, wait a minute, this isn't healing. Why? Because it's still leaking. It's supposed to heal and stop. The wound is supposed to go away. In this case, Jesus rebuked the devil, and the child was healed. Now, this one has always kind of amused me. Mark 7:34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now, do we know why this man's ears and tongue were open? Do you know how this man's ears and tongues were open? I purposely started after what Jesus actually did before he spoke. Because this one said, they brought a man unto him that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. Does that sound very appealing to anybody yet? I don't know about y'all, but just go up to anybody, and I advise you be careful who you do it to. Stick your finger in their ear and see how many people just stand there like it's okay. Generally, they pull their head back and look at you like, what are you doing? And then, let me put this on your tongue. Anybody want to say no yet? I don't know about y'all, but unless it was Jesus Christ, I'm probably telling you no. Because that just doesn't sound like something that would appeal to me. So, Jesus did something that, where's the medicine in that? You know, people want to act like that medicine's there. Where did Jesus ever use medicine? In John chapter 9, He talks about the blind man. And on that blind man, he did what? He picked up some clay or dirt, spit on it once again, made a clay, put it on the guy's eyes, and then told him, now this is a blind man. And then told him, now that I put this clay on your eyes, you know that pool of Siloam? Yeah, you need to go there and wash. Doesn't say he took him there. Just says, I'm gonna put this on your eyes, and then you need to go wash it off over here in this pool. Now the man did. I admire the man. You know, I don't know if he turned around and, hey, where's it? Can somebody get me to the pool? Or maybe he had somebody to help him. And think about this. Do you think this is the complete list of the way Jesus healed people? Because if you go look through the New Testament, when he's healing the multitudes, and this is just me speaking, I can imagine him getting a little bored and maybe just doing it all kinds of different ways just because. So I'm going to touch this guy's ear. I'm going to ask this other guy to stick his big toe out, and I'm going to wiggle it three times. And the next guy to come up, so I'm going to tell him to put his elbows together. And because, you know, he really doesn't seem to ever just do it the same way twice. There was no method to it. And was he a physician again? He was a doctor, right? He'd been trained on it? I just wanted to share these thoughts with this because in our world today, people are definitely looking more and more towards medicine for answers. And there are some things I feel like that medicine can answer. As I mentioned earlier, you break a bone, stick the two ends together. Believe it or not, a broken bone and having the ends put back together is mentioned in the Old Testament. You know, the arm was broken, they bound it back together. Why? Because that's the easiest way to have the two bones grow back straight, if you stick them back together. Nothing miraculous there. Not taken away from the Lord. But I would challenge us in our lives today. Do we consider the Lord is still capable of healing us physically? Of healing our bodies? Or have we lost sight of that? And we tend to potentially run after the medicines and the doctors. And just, you know, well, it's easy. I just challenge us all. Let's look at that in our lives. Y'all pray for me.